Moncrief on News Talk
with Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.
Jonathan DeBurka Butler joins us once again to bring us some stories from other parts of the world. Jonathan, good afternoon.
Sean, how are you
doing? Right, the Netherlands we're going to first, and they've expelled an Eritrean diplomat. Why?
They have. This is a person who was working in the embassy in The Hague. He was the top diplomat there. And they had given them warnings for quite a long period of time. Basically, what they do in the embassy is they charge a diaspora tax on people from Eritrea. So let's say I'm from Eritrea, I'm in The Hague, I need something rubber stamped. I go into the embassy and they say, okay, grand, I want to see if you're on the list of having paid your diaspora tax. Now, whether you're on the list or not, might not be here or there or anywhere. They charge 2% of your income. Where they get that figure from, I don't know,
Crikey.
But apparently that's what they do. And the Dutch have had a problem with this for a long time, not necessarily, I think anyway, and this is part of the argument, not necessarily because of the diaspora tax itself, but the way that it's being used and abused. So people who didn't pay it, their families back in Eritrea were being threatened, or, you know, even the simple thing of not getting your papers verified by the embassy, which makes, of course, staying in the Netherlands or in Europe impossible.
But legally, if you walk into the Eritrean embassy, you're on Eritrean soil, so Dutch law doesn't apply there.
Exactly. That is a very good point. And some people have said, in fact, that the USA has a similar system. They apparently have a diaspora tax, and we don't see any US diplomats getting expelled, and it's unlikely to happen anytime soon. But I think the problem is, here is the way in which it's done. It's intimidation, and I think there's been certainly Dutch authorities have launched investigations into this, and they've asked 7 other countries to do the same, and they all came back with the same sort of reports saying that this is dodgy and there's intimidation involved. So whether it happens outside of the embassy as well, or whether the intimidation continues outside of the embassy, I don't know if then it falls within the Dutch remit to look after that. But it's a very good point that you make. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's legally vague, I would have thought.
It is, but anyway, he's been expelled. So, yeah. And the UN have their back on this as well, actually.
Okay, they've expressed their displeasure as well.
Have done so since 2011, in fact.
Yeah. Right. Okay, now Japan is well known for their high-speed trains, so obviously a high-speed train crashing into something could be dangerous.
Well, absolutely, and it's unfortunate for the animals that live along the tracks, and I think, I've never been on one, but I think they kind of move, and they move very rapidly and very quietly, and they're quite proud of that fact. So what some researchers are trying out is they've attached a speaker that barks like a dog and snorts like a deer in order to get the deers away from the track. So it'll snort like a deer for 3 seconds to attract the attention, and then bark like a dog for 20 seconds to scare the deer away.
Okay.
And they need to do this because apparently in 2016 there were 613 cases of trains striking deer and other wild animals, which of course has, you know, delays the train, apart from killing the animals, obviously, which I personally would be more concerned about. It's also delaying trains arriving by 30 minutes.
Yeah, and what's attracting the deer to the railway, rails?
That is the fascinating thing. It's actually, they're there to pick up the iron filings because of a deficiency in their diet, apparently. So the traction, obviously the wheels taking a bit of the track off, and they go along and they lick the tracks, apparently.
That sounds like something you do if you're on drugs.
I don't know why.
I suppose an easier solution would be to give the poor deer some iron-rich foods.
Maybe,
they wouldn't be licking
the
rails in if that was the case. More seriously, not that deer being killed by trains isn't serious, but very, very serious in Indonesia. 100 dead in a measles outbreak.
Yeah, something from another time completely, really. And this is, again, it shows how geographically, and we've said it before, in strange Indonesia is. So this is, you know, miles away from the main islands. This is actually on New Guinea. Okay, so it's on the western side of New Guinea where Papua and West Papua are. And they are, of course, areas that are owned by Indonesia. Now, they have a level of autonomy, but we'll get into that later on. But it's believed that in two separate places, about 70 toddlers and 20 died in one area, and 27 have died in another area. Very remote areas. But bizarre that it's happened because of measles. It's basically down to malnutrition and, of course, the fact that they, for whatever reason, haven't been able to get vaccines to them before.
But there isn't any kind of set scheme for immunisation.
Well, this is the thing
against measles.
Well, this is the thing. I don't know if there is in this particular part of the world, and this is where the political aspect of it falls in. This is an area that has historically, since the 1960s, been treated quite badly by central Indonesian government, okay? And they have wanted a separate state since the early 1960s. There's an independence movement there. There are militant groups there. So this would be an area where, albeit that most of these reports are coming from the army and police and Indonesian authorities, would be considered neglected by
yes.
people who observe the area, let's say. Mining companies tend to do very well, but that money doesn't necessarily get pumped back into the area for local people so that they can get simple things, or what we see as simple things, like vaccinations against measles.
And people forget that measles can kill you. It's obviously
yeah,
it can kill you. It's a very, very serious disease. That's why we have the MMR jab, because
yeah,
it's a very, very serious disease.
And in fact, the figures are quite startling. I mean, it's coming down a lot, but in 2014, 70,000 people died worldwide from measles. Now, that's down from about 500,000 in the year 2000 and down from 2.6 million in 1980.
Crikey.
But it just shows you the power of the vaccine and what it can do.
Yeah, right. Turkey we're going to next, or Turkey stroke Syria, just to remind us that the Syrian war is raging and still has the potential for even more of a mess than it is already. Now, this is and this involves Turkey and the Kurds.
It does, yes. And this is in the north, so away from sort of Iraqi Kurdistan and over the other side of the conflict zone that used to be sort of the focus used to be on Islamic State. So something we flagged, actually, and we have done for nearly a year, that this was going to happen. The YPG, that's the Syrian Kurdish militant group, they took over an area in northwestern Syria, which is on the border of Turkey. So it has a northern and western border with Turkey. The Turks have been looking at this part of the world and saying, we don't like you on our border. They suspect that the YPG are connected with the PKK, who are, of course, the Kurds who are operating within Turkey. And so they've opened up a front against them. It started with shelling, and now there was a grand offensive. And they've managed to take a few towns and villages from the YPG. That's the Syrian Kurds, who have effectively controlled this area for the last 3 years or so. There's a massive problem with this in that until now, the US has given their full backing to the YPG.
Yeah.
But
not
of course,
anymore.
Yeah, it's gone. It started off by saying, we hope everybody will stay calm. We're asking for Turkey to focus. The next statement came out, we're asking for Turkey to focus on Islamic State. And the latest statement, and it's worth reading because it shows what, well, I won't use the word that I'm going to use. I'll read the statement. It says, we understand that the Kurds have been instrumental in taking the fight to Daesh, and everybody appreciates that. On the other hand, Turkey does have a legitimate interest in protecting its own border. Reading between the lines, that's basically, thanks for everything, but you're on your own now.
Yeah.
The Russians, it looks, have signed off on this. Even the Syrians, although they've given a warning to the Turks saying that if you fly any planes into Syrian territory, we'll shoot you down. There seems to be an agreement that you can go as far as about 20 kilometres into Syria. That's your buffer zone and that's where you stop. And it's been allowed to happen.
Right. And so even the Syrians, or the Syrian government, one should say, is participating with
this. Well, the Turks sent a military leader to Russia on Thursday. The Russians came back basically and said, don't stop. They didn't say to start, but they said, we won't interfere.
Yeah.
The Turks have now gone ahead with a grand offensive. They're doing grand on that grand offensive. The YPG are going to probably get pushed out, although they are fighting back. And so it looks like, even though the diplomats on the surface are saying, oh, don't do this, and you can't do that, and this, that, and the other, that this is going to happen.
Yeah.
And he can't be stopped. Like, It's a classic Erdogan move. He just can't be stopped. He's playing everybody off each other.
Yeah, but what's extraordinary about that is that effectively Turkey has switched sides. They're now on the same side as the Syrian government and the Russians.
No, they're not, because...
They're fighting the Kurds, they are.
Well, they're not, because they're supporting the Free Syrian Army, and the Free Syrian Army are helping the Turks to take this territory off the YPG.
Right, okay. Okay. Even though the YPG had initially been part of that rump against the government.
They were part of a slightly different rump, I think, against the government. But anyway.
Yeah. Crikey, yeah.
It's a classic thing that happens to these poor, unfortunate people. It's basically, you do all the hard fighting and you'll get no reward for it.
Was there actually any evidence that the YPG had, were posing a threat to Turkey? Or was it just their very existence and the fact that there are Kurds living on the other side of the border who might ask for independence?
The Turks say, and this is the problem that they're having with the US as well, the Turks say that US arms are coming into the YPG and they are making their way over the border to the PKK and they're being used against the Turkish government. The YPG completely and utterly deny this, but... It doesn't make any difference anyway. Yeah. It's all going ahead, but it's a perfectly valid point.
Yeah, the Kurds really are one of those poor, unfortunate people who, it's not just in more recent times, but historically have been just overlooked by everyone.
Yeah.
Right, Bolivia we're going to go to now, and they're going to ban evangelism.
Well, this is what the evangelists are saying, right? So there's a new law that's been brought in. It's Article 88.1 of new penal code. And again, I'll read it out to you because people can make their own minds. And it basically says, whoever recruits, transports, deprives of freedom, or hosts people with the aim of recruiting them to take part in armed conflicts or religious or worship organisations will be penalised by being sentenced to 5 to 12 years of imprisonment. Okay, so this is Evo Morales, his government, bringing this in. The evangelists who constitute about 20% of the population of Bolivia, apparently, so they're quite powerful, are basically saying that this is vague law and that it could be used to send anybody to prison who's out in the street handing out leaflets, or anybody who throws a guy into the back of a van who has decided, I'll go and find out what all this religious stuff is about. And they just say that it's too easy and too open to interpretation. So they're drawing attention to that. And they're actually trying to get other groups involved in this as well, such as including the Catholic Church, in fact, who Morales and the Catholic Church wouldn't really have a soft spot for each other, to be honest with you. It'll be interesting to see if they row back on it, and it is quite possibly unconstitutional, or at least contrary to the basic law, which protects religious freedom. So,
We'll see how that plays out. Yeah. Right, France we're going to go to now. Now, this is a European Court of Human Rights case, which says that a woman can't have paternity leave, which sounds contradictory, of course, but you're going to explain why that is.
Well, I'm going to try. So this was a case that was originally taken in 2004. So a woman, she had a child with the mother, right? So they're a lesbian couple, basically. And she thought she was due 11 days paternity leave, okay? She took the case through the various different courts to France, and now has taken it all the way up to the European Court of Human Rights, and the court has thrown it out, okay? So she was arguing that it was all part of Article 8, private and family life, and respect for the home and that kind of thing, and she thought she was due this, but the court had basically said, well, no, because your interpretation of paternity was manifestly ill-founded, okay? And they went on to basically say that the word paternity was put in place to protect fathers and to get them more involved in, parenting and the like. And they basically said, because you're not the father, you're not covered by this. Now, I should say that legislation in France since 2004 has changed.
Right.
So it's a question of time.
It's a question
of time for her, and she didn't get there in time, or she was too far ahead of her time.
Yes, so to speak. USA we're going to go to next. Another story about a gay couple, and they're going to sue Vistaprint.
They are. This is Andrew Borg and Stephen Heasley. They're actually Australians, and they went to the United States to get married, and they were expecting their wedding brochures to arrive. They had asked Vistaprint for 100 wedding brochures, which were going to carry the lyrics from the song Treasure by Above and Beyond. And instead, what they got on the day before their wedding were 80 pamphlets entitled Understanding Temptation, Fight the Good Fight of the Faith. And it was basically explaining to them that Satan entices your flesh with evil, etc., 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 and that you need to control your desires. Now, they complained about this, obviously, and not only have they complained, they've actually taken a case against Vistaprint. Now, Vistaprint, in their defence, have come out and basically said, look, we're investigating this. We didn't know. We don't know how this happened.
Yeah. So okay. Well, assuming it was a mix-up, were these assuming it was a mix-up, or maybe somebody in Vistaprint did it. Somebody might have gone on a solo. Was it explicitly anti-gay? Or was it just like sex is bad?
Yeah. They actually, the lawyers have actually said that it was explicitly not anti-gay, and they acknowledged that, but that there was an inference there that what these men were involved in was sinful, shall we say?
Yeah,
that's what was interpreted anyway.
Yeah, right. Finally, India. We're going to now, and ice is falling from the sky.
Ice is indeed falling from the sky, and this is a particular type of ice. It landed on Saturday, the 20th of January, in a small village near Delhi. Or near New Delhi. Fazilpur Badli is the name of the village. And it was brown and frozen, and people weren't 100% sure what it was. So they were curious, and it was apparently taken away for analysis. And it turns out that it was actually feces from an aeroplane.
It was poopy ice. Yeah.
Yeah, it was, which had fallen from an aeroplane. And apparently this happens quite
a lot. All the time, yeah.
About 25 falls of blue ice, as it's called normally, happen every year over the UK, would you believe?
So
it happens.
Yeah. Well, will there be any poopy ice falling on Davos, which is coming up this week?
That would be wonderful if it fell on a certain blonde head. It'd be fantastic. Yes. So on Friday in Davos, Donald Trump is going to be giving what will resemble a speech at the World Economic Forum.
Well, it will be interesting to see, given that he was elected on the basis of I'm in it for ordinary people. Mm. Is he going to give these people a roasting? Because these are the kind of elites he used to rail against.
It'll be interesting to see what he cobbles together. There'll be a lot of media focus on that, for sure. Then Mauricio Macri is the Argentinian president. He's on a series of visits. Across Europe, probably ties in with that forum in Davos as well. And then in Venice, one of the longest running festivals ever, I think, starts on Saturday, the Venice Carnival.
Ah, yes.
Which I believe is fantastic. I've never been to it, but there you go.
Moncrief on News Talk.
With Gas Networks Ireland. Natural gas is compatible with a wide range of modern appliances. gasnetworks.ie/movetogas.